Shall we pray? Holy Father, again we bow in thy presence, and how good it is to be a member of the family of God. How we thank thee for the fellowship that we share with thee and with one another. How we thank thee too for this morning's coming together, the time spent in the last few minutes, and now we ask thy presence and thy blessing as we continue in thy word. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Now, since the beginning of the year, we have been speaking about the Holy Spirit. And more recently, we have been speaking of types of the Holy Spirit. What is a type? And a type may be defined as a person, thing, or an event, or institution divinely adapted to represent some spiritual truth. We remind ourselves again, you remember when the children of Israel were in the wilderness and they rebelled against God and he sent snakes that bit them. And then the Lord said to Moses, make a serpent. Anyone who was bitten and looks at the serpent will be healed. That's the type. The antitype, or the fulfillment of that, you get in John 3, where the Lord said, just as Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, I am going to be lifted up, and as they looked at him and lived, if you trust in me, you live. So that tells us what a type is. John chapter 7. I don't see our brother here who read this this morning. He read the very verses we're going to read, and when he read it, I said that I believe that this is a confirmation that I'm taking the right subject. John chapter 7, verse 37. And we'll read through verse 39. This will be our text. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly, his innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water. 39. This he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. The Spirit is pictured as water flowing from the individual. Isaiah, please. Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah chapter 57, verses 20 and 21. The wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And I remember the first time I saw the troubled sea. You see, growing up in New York City, right in the middle there, you had the Harlem River, the East River, and the Hudson River, unfit for drinking or swimming. So I never saw the sea until one day I was about 10 years old, and my father took us down to Asbury Park. And it was an overcast day, and the sea was raging. And I said, that's what the sea looks like. First place, they told me the sea was blue. That wasn't blue. It was a dirty green. And I never saw the blue sea till I went to the tropics. Now, one more scripture, please. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And we're going to read some science. I'm glad to see so many young people here. Do you know that the Bible is full of science? Now, it's not a scientific book, but it's full of science. And when the Bible speaks on any subject, no matter what it is, the Bible is right. Now read with me Ecclesiastes 1, verse 7. All rivers run into the sea. Is that right? Is that true? Is that a fact? All rivers run into the sea. Absolutely. They didn't find this out until a few hundred years ago. It's been here. Yet the sea is not full. How do you explain that? Now, when I went to school, they called this the hydraulic cycle or the water cycle. What do they call it today, you that are in school? Call it the same thing?
Hydrogen.
What's that?
Hydrogen cycle.
Well, yes, there's a hydrogen cycle, that's right. All right, this is the water cycle. The water goes up, around, and comes back. Now, let me call your attention to something that I experienced several years ago in the island of Jamaica. You know, going into the sea to swim is a famous thing there. And I was pleasantly surprised when I went into the water there. I know in New York when you go swimming or go to the beach, you put one toe in, so you check the temperature. And then you go in up to your ankles and then up to your knees. The water's cold. But down there, you just go in. Now, there's a place called Dunn's River. And if you ever go to Jamaica, visit Dunn's River. Has anybody ever been there? Oh, good. Dunn's River. The water comes down like a waterfall, but not like Niagara Falls. No, no. This is gentle, and it just rolls and rolls. And one of the things that most people do, especially the youngsters, they climb up the falls. You can't do that at Niagara, can you? You climb up the falls. Well, the water comes down and down and down, and then it goes into the sea. But one day I found an interesting fact. I was standing in a certain place, and I felt this cold water. And then I moved over a little bit, and the water was warm. Here I was in the river, and here I was in the sea. The river was running through the sea, and as far out as I went, and you can go out about a quarter of a mile, the water is still shallow. Wherever that river was, it kept its course through the sea. Now, the wicked are like the troubled sea, but the Holy Spirit is like rivers of water. Do you get the message? That's all. I'm finished. I'll just talk, but I don't have to say anything. That's the message. That if we will allow the rivers of water, the Holy Spirit, to flow, it'll flow through, not mixing with the sea, and have a profound effect on the sea. Well, now there is one river that's even larger than that little one that I walked in. How many of you have heard of the Gulf Stream? Anybody? Good. Some of us older ones. You young folks don't know a thing about the Gulf Stream. You know why? Because you fly over it. But years ago, you had to take a boat across the Gulf Stream. And that was a test of your stamina. You see, the Gulf Stream starts in the Gulf of Mexico, goes up along the coast shores of the United States, and when it gets to Cape Hatteras, it makes a sudden turn northeast. And here you are on a boat coming through, nice sea, and you get to the Gulf Stream. And most people that have talked to me, I've never sailed the Gulf Stream, but that's where most people got motion sickness and spent much of their time feeding the fish, if you follow what I mean. That's right. The Gulf Stream, a river in the ocean. And the waters are separate. The Gulf Stream is 50 miles wide. So that's wider than the Mississippi River and the Potomac River and all these other rivers. 50 miles wide. The water in the Gulf Stream is warmer than the water in the Atlantic Ocean. And many a man has been shipwrecked in the Atlantic Ocean and has been able to get to the Gulf Stream and survive. Water running through water. The Holy Spirit running amidst the confusion in the world. The Gulf Stream water is a different color from the water around. As I mentioned, you know what's fascinating about the Gulf Stream? It has ridges. It has sides. There's a sharp demarcation between the waters of the Gulf Stream and the waters of the sea. And you know what's even more fascinating? The Gulf Stream is higher than the sea. How do you do that? How do you have water flowing through water and keep the water higher? And they talk about evolution. Young people, don't be deceived. God did this. There's another fascinating fact. There is another stream coming from the north. It's called the Labrador Stream, and it's very cold. So here's the Gulf Stream with warm water going that way, and here's this Labrador Stream with cold water. What do you think happens when the two get together? Anybody? Yes, if Satan were doing it, yes. You know what happens? The cold water goes down 2,000 feet and comes out on the other side of the Gulf Stream. Who did that? And that's my God. Now, another thing about the Gulf Stream, the waters are warm. And as they go up along the coast of Europe and England, British Isles and those places, the warmth of that water is spread to the surrounding areas so that they are warmer. So that that Gulf Stream and its waters go to 200 miles south of the North Pole, and the water is warm, and the surroundings are warm. In other words, as that river flows through the ocean, it has a calming, cooling, and effective effect on the surroundings. And the idea is that if we will allow the Holy Spirit to flow as a river of water, it will be a sedative effect on the world around. Oh, did I tell you how wide the Gulf Stream is? What did I say? I was wrong, 70 miles. How deep is it? 2,000 miles deep. And when you get down there and you go beyond that 2,000, you're in the cold ocean. I mean, this is God's handiwork. This is wonderful. Now, what lesson are we to learn from this? In the last day, that great day of the feast. Oh, I want to just point out something. Put this in a parenthesis. Read verse 2, please. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacle was at hand. The Jews' feast. Brother Craig told us about those feasts a few months ago, and those were the feasts of the Lord. But they had deteriorated to the Jews' feast. Beloved, let's keep with this book, and let not anything cause us to deteriorate and deviate from this book. That feast had become the Jews' feast, when it should have been the feast of Jehovah. And there are many elements around seeking to pull us down and have us compromise. No, I won't say it. But I was very disappointed. It was two nights ago at the testimony of a certain individual. Beloved, stand for the truth. Don't deviate from the truth. Don't let the feast of Jehovah become a feast of Arthur Garnes, a feast of the brethren, a feast of the Presbyterians. Stay with the word. Now, what are we to learn from all of this? We are the source of the Spirit. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Then he interprets it. Verse 30. This he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. And so the believer, I've said this before, you heard me. When I was about 10 years old, and they'd sing, Come Holy Spirit. And in my, shall I say, innocence or ignorance, I'm looking all over the place for the Holy Spirit. He's within. So if you want him to come out, you better look down and say, come out. See? That's where he is. And if we are to be effective and the Holy Spirit is to move among the confusion and the confused waters that we see around, we that have him must let him out. Do I make that clear? So don't go around and say, where's the Holy Spirit? Why doesn't God do something? Let him out. And something will happen. We are the vessels, the channels through whom the Holy Spirit moves. And when we allow him to move, he will have a sedative and a calming and a wholesome effect. First of all, where? Where's the nearest place? Your family. Well, fine, within, yes. He'll have a good effect on me. if I allow him to flow. We're going to take that up a week from Wednesday. He will have a calming effect in our homes, in our workplaces, at school. Young folks, when they're teaching you all these strange doctrines, just let the Spirit flow. You'll have a head sedative effect even on the professors, because they don't believe half of what they're talking. In fact, there's no evidence for it. Let the Spirit flow. Now, let's take first 1 Corinthians, please. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. The relationship of the believer, or rather of the Spirit in the believer. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14. What does it say there? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of fellowship with the Holy Spirit be with you all. The Holy Spirit is within the believer, and there should be fellowship and communion with the Holy Spirit. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 1. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit. The Spirit is within the believer, and there should be fellowship with the Spirit. He shouldn't be pushed over to one side. And if there's fellowship with the Spirit, then he will flow out, and you'll be surprised at the profound effect that he will have. But there are two things that we must guard against. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Where is the Holy Spirit? In the believer. We are to maintain fellowship with him, but we're not to grieve him. How do you grieve the Holy Spirit? Oh, by the way, I'll never forget a Friday night I heard a brother say this. He's now with the Lord. You can't grieve your enemy. Following? You can't grieve your enemy. You can only grieve someone who loves you and is interested in you. And this word says, don't grieve the Spirit. And how do you grieve the Spirit? By doing those things which hurt him. Contrary, things that are contrary to the Word of God. The next one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. You're not to grieve the Spirit, because if you're grieving, he surely won't flow. And then 1 Thessalonians 5 and 19, quench not the Spirit. When he urges you to do something, don't quench him. When you're about to do what you know is contrary to the Word of God, and the Spirit reminds you that's wrong, don't quench him. Because if you do, he won't flow. Now, when we hinder the flow of the Spirit, do you know we have an effect on the world around? Jonah chapter 1. Now, I might be in trouble. Because, as I've told you, and I don't want to reflect on my family, but do you know the chief criticism of my children when they were growing up? Only one is here, Joseph. I said, children. You know what the chief criticism of me was? Daddy, you turned to too many scriptures. I can't help it. How would you put this message together without turning to these scriptures? Now, when a believer does not allow the flow of the Spirit, he not only harms himself, but he harms those around. Jonah chapter 1. Verse 9. Jonah said, I am an Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Now, there's a man of God. There he is. Now, come down to verse 12. This same man of God said, take me up, cast me into the sea. The sea shall become... I know that because of me, this tempest is on you. Can you imagine that? A child of God causing the tempest around. There are certain neighborhoods that are considered very bad. Others a little better. And from what I'm reading, none of them are perfect. Stealing children and all sorts of things happens in all sorts of neighborhoods. Now, beloved, let me tell you this. If I am quenching the Spirit and not allowing Him to have free flow, I am contributing to the confusion in my neighborhood. But think on that. A man of God, a prophet of God, and he is causing the storm. Let's not cause any storms. Let's so live in communion with the Holy Spirit that He will flow freely. Oh, where is that? Somewhere in here. I want to read a little poem. Is the Holy Spirit a guest in you? Or is he a resident? Which is he? Yes, here it is. Is the Holy Spirit a guest? You know what you do with it? When a guest comes to the house? Now, sit there. See? Just stay there. And when I want you, I'll call you and tell you to come to the team. But a resident, your children, they just go all over, don't they? Is the Holy Spirit a guest kept in a corner where I want him? Or is he free to go where he wants? Is he a guest or a resident? If you open the door and let the Spirit in, he will come as a courteous guest. He will take the space that you give him and will leave you all the rest. Yeah, you get it. Sit over there, stay there. If you crowd him out of your largest room and give him a corner small, if you scarcely remember that he is there and speak of him not at all, then he may grieve when he sees your mind by the cares of the world oppressed, when your feet have strayed and your soul is faint and your heart by grief oppressed. He cannot comfort and lift and guide and help as he longs to do, where he sits apart in your house of life, for you have not asked him to. Is the Holy Spirit a guest or is he at home? Is he a resident? That's about all I have to say. And we have 5 minutes. So I'm going to ask you to open your hymn. Thanks, Greg. 553. We have to see if we know it. 553 and 556. Which one do we know? Huh? 553. Because all we have to do is be channels, you know. That's all the Lord wants us to be. Channels to let the Spirit out. And 553 says, how I praise thee, precious Savior, that thy love lay hold on me. Course channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us. He can't use us if we don't allow the Spirit to flow. Then 556 says, is your life a channel of blessing?
Pardon me? What's happened?
No, which one we know best?
Oh, okay.
So you can tell us that.
553.
How I praise thee, precious. Are we all praising him? Well, that means that we all are letting him out. How I praise thee, precious Savior, that thy love laid hold on me. Well, I'm thankful for that. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me. Are you full? Full with the Holy Spirit? That I might thy channel be. We're not filled just to be full. You're filled so as to let it out. That's why you read in this Psalm 23, my cup overflows. A cup cannot overflow unless it's full to the brim, or the rim, whichever you like. But it can't overflow unless it's filled all the way up. And unless we allow him to fill us, there'll be no overflow and there'll be no river going out. 553. We better stand. Praise thee, precious Savior, let thy love lay hold on me. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might thy channel be. Tell us only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every. Do you like that? You like that hymn?
Good.
Now, we want to be channels. Verse 2. Everybody now. Channels only. You're getting a little faint at the end. Don't keep it up. Keep the voices up at the end. Verse 3. Keep it up. Me this, beloved. I find in so many. Why do we slow down at the end? Verse 4. Thank you. Now, let me just, you may sit, make one point. Now, as we allow the Spirit to flow through us, it doesn't mean that the world is going to get better. This Bible shows us, read 2 Timothy, read the book of the Revelation, 2 Timothy chapter 3. The world is not going to get better. There are those who are working hard to improve America. There is no such thing. God is taking people out of the world and improving them. But you're not improving the world. But we have a part to play if we allow the Spirit to flow freely. And it is the Spirit who convicts of sin, judgment, and righteousness. We can't do it. Therefore, we need the Spirit flow. Have you any unsaved relatives? Well, let the Spirit flow. Friends? Co-workers? Fine. Shall we pray? Again, Holy Father, we bow in thy best presence. We thank thee for this occasion that brings us together. The lesson this afternoon has been a very simple one. May it be that we who know the Lord, who are indwelt by the Spirit, may not quench him, may not grieve him, but so commune with him that he may be free to flow from us to those around. We thank thee for the gathering of thy people, the wonderful time that we have had today. And now, as we are about to dismiss, take us home in peace and safety. Bless us during the remainder of the day as we give thee thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, you're free to go. As for me, I'd like to stay here a little while. Let's see.